Hey, good morning, Shiloh. Hey, good morning, everyone. It is glad to see all of you this morning. First of all, I would thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. All week, I have been sick, but I fought it like I don't know how.
Yeah.
But I fought it all week, including this morning. When I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning, I was still sick. I said, oh, Lord, I have to come to Shiloh. But I'm here. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
So I want to thank him for good health and to keep me on my feet. And also I would like to thank Pastor Armstrong for his confidence. Because of my accent, I always blame my accent for not being able to communicate very well. But yet he has confidence that I could manage a Bible study on Tuesday night. And apparently, since I'm crazy, the man become crazy as I am. And I think that the pastor, he has a crazy beard, and the pastor say, oh, I love it. So every Tuesday night, we are here, regardless of the weather, cold, icy, we come here to Shiloh. And I thank God for the commitment of the man and for the commitment of Shiloh and the understanding that Christ has bestowed upon us that we need to know and understand his word. I want to thank all of the people here at Shiloh, especially those who encouraged me to be at Shiloh. Pastor Armstrong one, and I have two ladies. When I came first came here, they said Shiloh was having a vacation Bible school, and I came and one lady, I asked a question with two people who were sitting back there with me and Bobby, and one lady just raised her hand and said, oh, Beaujolais has something on it. That, and then that's my beginning at Shiloh. The challenge began, and I would thank you all. But anyway, today is a beautiful day. As a beautiful day, I want to thank the choir for a beautiful rendition all morning, both young and old. I would thank them. And I want to thank these young who bring the offering to Haiti for the Save a Life project, the Jack and Jill project. Thank you very much. And we will buy the nets, and we will let you know and inform you where those nets went. So whenever a pastor and anyone from Shiloh went to Haiti, you will receive a letter from where the nets went and how it's being used. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. But today also is a sad day. It is a sad day for, over the weekend I have learned the mayor of Trenton has been convicted. It is a sad day. But as Christian, we have that responsibility. Those of you who have clout, those of you who has his phone number, it is a time for you to reach out to him and remind him that what the evangelist said, it is your responsibility to remind him what the psalmist said. He restored my soul. Because only he can restore the soul of someone who cannot sleep. Only he can bring peace to someone's life. For my peace I give to you, not as the world give. So those of you who have clout, you are called, you are mandated to reach out to him and offer your support, offer your comfort to him. Maybe he will win on appeal, we never know. But he needs your help and your support. It is also sad that in New Jersey, some people have taken the liberty to close some lanes on some bridges, making it very uncomfortable for some people. And I'm certain they cannot sleep either. Because I have read on the news that many has already called on the 5th. They raise their hand and say, hey, I plead the 5th. Others have this week, others have plead their privacy right. So, in other words, whatever happened when I was closing the lane, I'm not sorry, but I have to protect myself. But one of the greatest things that we have learned in the Bible from someone in power is the power of repentance. Well, David, King David has proven that over and over unto us. When he sinned, and the prophet came unto him, the first thing he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I sinned against you.
Yeah, right.
And the Lord is proud to call David a man according to his heart. Today, it's also a month of celebration. We have Pastor Armstrong last month. He has received an award. So myself, I want to thank him. I didn't have a chance to thank him. So now, since he gave me the liberty of the mic, I'm going to say congratulations, Bas, in your award. His wife has received also an award, the Woman of the Year. So I want to congratulate both.
Amen.
And not forgetting, not forgetting the only radio community radio station that we have in Trenton, WIMG has also bestowed a stellar award this month. It is the only radio station we have in Trenton, and I would ask you to encourage WIMG to continue to diffuse the gospel in our community. Also, Ty Tribute, although I don't listen to his music, but I know his name very well. He is a native of New Jersey. He received a stellar award. So as a member of New Jersey, I'm certain that when the award comes to New Jersey, I receive it too.
That's right. Okay.
So I'm glad that we are making progress.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We are making a lot of progress. But the best part of the month is Black History Month. Black history is something that being added. Why? Because in history, you know, we as human, we are not perfect. We have tendency to have amnesia when we want to. So the achievement of blacks are not reflected on the history book. So therefore, we are forced to have a side book. And we take a little couple days in a year to call it Black History, to bring the achievement of black and how our ancestors have worked hard to make America what America is today. So it is good, it is fitting that we celebrate Black History. It is a reminder of yesterday, how where we were yesterday and where we are today, and I'm certain where we want to go. But it is also a reminder that we need to be together as one, because some people are repealing affirmative action. I went to Princeton, I don't know if it's affirmative action or not, because I was not born here, but I know if it was not for affirmative action, I would not be in Princeton. For me, number one, I'm black. Number two, I have an accent. Number three, I'm not from here. So everything about me would disqualify me. But because of affirmative action, I think they say, okay, let's take this one. And that was my opportunity. God has blessed me, and I think this is the best thing that ever happened to me, is attending Princeton. And on that, myself, I encourage everyone that I met, every young person I have one, where is he? Where is Dr. Aaron Brooks? I encourage everyone I met to do their best to achieve high, especially this young one right here, to achieve high so you can attend a school like Princeton. But Pastor have had me this morning to preach, not to lecture. But I did want to preach, basically tell you the truth. I came here with intent basically to share with you. So if you open your Bible with me in the Gospel according to John, if the Gospel according to John,
would all stand for the reading of the word?
Chapter 21. Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. It is very simple. I would like for all of you to memorize it. It's because it's repeating itself. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said unto him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So he said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." May God bless the reading of his words for the edification of our souls. I would like for you to pray with me on the subject this morning, a call to service. A call to service. Let us pray. Gracious God, we glorify your name. We bow before you to give you thanks and praise for all you have done for us and what you are going to do for us. Open our heart and soul and mind to the understanding of your word. Bless us, guide us. Make us understand and take our responsibility of feeding your sheep the way you want to. As the word going to be proclaimed, make each and every one of us good disciples and better children. Not only now, but forever. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Again, good morning. Basically, what I want to share with you is very simple. Feed my sheep. In it, I would like for you to keep one word or one phrase in your mind. A cast down, the word cast down. A cast down sheep, it is a sheep that gets on its back and cannot get back on its feet of its own. That is a cast down sheep. But the title today is Call to Service. The writer of the Gospel according to John, it is the disciple that the Bible describes as the disciple Jesus loved. But John, in his writing, because of his intimacy with Jesus Christ, what he has done from the beginning, John did not hesitate to let you and I know who Jesus is. He introduced us to the identity of the man who called us to feed his sheep. So what he did on John chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So John, from the get-go, let you and I know that Jesus is God.
Amen.
And he continued to say, "All things was created by him, and without him, nothing that was made would have been made." So John did not hesitate to introduce you and I to the God, as opposed to Matthew. Matthew introduced Jesus as the son of Abraham. It says, the beginning of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Because Matthew had a different audience in mind. As such, he introduced his audience to let them know, hey, you know who Abraham is? Abraham is our father. So Jesus is his son. Abraham is the father of faith. So therefore, Jesus is part of the faith or the belief that we have, the belief that we have been cherished for 6,000 years. That's who Jesus is. And he continued to say, son of David. So Matthew introduced Jesus as a member of that Jewish community to which he was addressing. Because David is king. David is dignitary. David is the holder of power. And the Lord has told David that one day his kingdom will be forever. And Jesus is that person. So Matthew makes sure that his audience understand who Jesus is. Because he is part of the family. So therefore, you have to receive him. You have to accept him. Mark did not waste no time. He said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, the word, Mark said, no. I don't care what you say. The word you're going to read, it is the good news. It is the good news of Jesus. But look, in other words, put the responsibility upon you. And I like it. I like how Luke does bring to question, to understand your responsibility. And if I want to take a sidebar, and I think today it is what lacking. It is my opinion. It is not biblically founded. My opinion is the fact that when you watch the early preacher, I don't know how many of you have a chance to watch the early preacher, how superficial Christians are boasting about what they have. And when you are boasting about what you have, it is a big danger. Because you have opened the eyes of the vultures. So if you have money, oh yes, oh you know what happened? If you step on me, I'm going to sue you. Yeah, because you have money. You have money, so therefore the vultures are there. They are there to get what you have. They are there to, the rapists come and devour you. The second thing, when you boast, it's about yourself. In other words, you tell the Holy Spirit, stay on the back, let me display my Lamborghini. Let me display my $400,000 Bentleys, and stay on the back. Let me do it. Forgetting that our job and our responsibility as Christian, as Luke bring it, because Luke was writing to the excellent Theophilus, and they have many form of version. But the one I believe, I don't believe what the scholar said. I believe what the Bible said. Because Luke said, having had the certainty of these news from eyewitnesses and ministers of the gospel. So Luke bring the gospel that to let you and I know you must have the certainty of what you are going to proclaim. The certainty of what you are going to say. And when you don't have that certainty, it is a problem. It is a problem that we find in Haiti. Haiti is a country that you all know today. Let's take Haiti today. We all know that Haiti is a country that the news describe as the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. And everything you see in the media is the ugliness part of it. There is nothing good coming out of it. To the point that myself, I told my friends who are here today, I don't watch Haiti news because whatever you see is depressing. Mm-hmm. I grew up under the reign of terror when I was in Haiti, so I have a very good idea of what it is. But by the blessing of God, I was able to do everything we were supposed to do. But Haiti, who is poor today, it is something that we need to understand. Haitians has too much pride. And I'm teaching it, I'm saying it to the young ones and to the older one. Because Haitians used to send their children to study in Europe. They went to Europe, they study, came back, they became professors and led honors and everything else. And as they become prominent and displayed everything that they have, so whenever a dictator came into power and he become part of that group. And in the 60s, as you all know, in Africa, the Belgians were leaving Africa to let Africa go because people were fighting against apartheid. Especially someone, the biggest icon we know is Nelson Mandela. He died recently. So as they were fighting against apartheid, and all of those who has money, those who holds the wealth of Africa, they wanted to leave. And what the Haitians has done, they went to Africa, they rebuilt the educational system of Africa. They went to the Gabon, Ivory Coast, and Congo, and throughout Africa, and rebuilt the whole system of Africa. The second thing they did at the same time, it was right here, north of us, in Canada. In the 60s also, Canada has that problem with Belgium because the French part wanted to merge with the English part. But the Haitian went to Canada. Today, what President Obama is proud to call Obamacare, it is a model of health care that was designed by Haitian. I'm not making that up. It is in the history book. It is a model of health care that was designed by Haitians in Canada that our government wanted to bring right here in America. And you see a lot of rappers, vultures, don't want people who don't have health care to benefit from. The third thing that happened with Haitians, it is important when you speak a language, another language, excuse me, you have the latitude of helping others. And Haitians become victimized of that. And the first thing they did, because if the big people want to do their things and the little guys want to come and mess it up, what they do, they say, oh no, you're going to sit down. And everything that was in Haiti, Pastor Armstrong went to Haiti. And I promise him, next time he is going with me. Although he told me, Bush, I have connection. I said, Pastor, you have my connection.
Amen.
Because I want him to go and notice that all factories in Haiti have been moved from Haiti to the Dominican Republic, including the railroads, we moved from the ground and transported wherever they did with them, including the rails. And what is the lesson for us in feeding my sheep? So therefore, when you move the rail, he is a country that has no sewage system. So when it rains in Haiti, we don't have four seasons. We have two seasons, rainy season and dry season. During the rainy season, which is fast approaching now, you can have rain from April all the way through June, non-stop. Non-stop, completely. Everything flooded. And the water stays on the street. And mosquitoes come and breed. No factories. No job. 90% people in Haiti don't work. On what do they survive? And this is where this passage comes for you and I. Feed my sheep. So the call that is here is that a sheep, they have three kind of sheep that you have to pay attention to. The first one is the skinny one. The skinny sheep, like Haiti, when they get on their back, it is impossible for a skinny sheep to get back because sheep is an animal that has small legs. So when it gets on its back, the little leg just waggled and cannot come back up. Sheep need someone. They need someone to come and pull them. To take them back on their feet. And as they are on the feet, the job of the shepherd is to massage the leg to bring back circulation on those legs. Not only to restore the sheep into the fold, but to restore the sheep back to health. And to restore the sheep unto himself. So you and I, that's what we have faced. The one who called you, as John is describing it, it is the God Almighty, Jesus Christ, who called you to feed my sheep. And when you are doing this service, you are not doing it for yourself. Because service, by definition, is helping others. By definition, is helping someone, although that someone can help himself. But it is your responsibility and your duty to help somebody to restore them back to normal. So as we're thinking about Haiti, to get back to normal, are we going to look at the superficial? Oh, it's a nation. They have been like this for 200 years after independence. They cannot govern. They cannot do ABC. But the forces of darkness is always at work. And this is the responsibility you have. Because you are not fighting against flesh and blood. You are fighting against powers and principalities in high places. So your responsibility is not what you see, for you work not by sight, you work by faith. When the Bible said, feed my sheep, he is calling you to something else. And skinny sheep are not the only one who can be cast down. Fat sheep also get cast down. How if it, a sheep get cast, if get fat? They eat a lot. But let's leave this one for the next one. But if sheep get fat because a lot of wool get on his skin, a lot of wool. And when a sheep have a lot of wool, when it lay down, and you know that as much as I, a lot of mud get into the wool. And little twig from here, little branches from there get into the wool. And finally, when it get down, it cannot get back up. Because the outside that come make the sheep so heavy that the sheep cannot stand of its own. How many of us love to display our bling blings? How many of us, the superficial we have, all that we have, we want people to see? How many of us who have power, Pastor Armstrong, if you lay loud me, who have power, because I have power, I can do whatever I want to my enemy. I decide that you're my enemy, then I can go and block your lanes.
Oh, wow.
And cause a traffic jam. I don't care who is suffering. When someone calls, oh, the children are going to school. I say, don't worry about them. They're not my children. They're somebody else's babies.
Wow. Preach the word.
But remember, the buzzards are always around. It is not only the shepherd, Pastor Armstrong, who are looking for the sheep. Because when a sheep is on its back, the vultures are around. The dogs are around. The coyotes are looking. Because once you get superficial, believe it or not, you become prey for the vultures. You become prey. Once you think that you have too much knowledge, that neighborhood is not mine anymore, you have problems. And I think this is Shiloh Baptist Church problem.
Speak the word.
2 years ago, Pastor Armstrong told me that he... Pastor Armstrong said to me that he has a 2020 vision. And he wants to rebuild Trenton community. Because our community cannot have all these boarded up houses right here. We have too many affluent people. That's what he said, but these are not my words. But I can say, we have too many affluent people in the church and have all these boarded houses around Shiloh. We must do something.
Yeah.
And Pastor is trying to sell his 2020s. I don't know how successful he is yet, but this year he's pushing. Uh-huh. He's pushing.
Yeah.
Because when you ride right here, I count the number of the houses right here this morning, Pastor. We have 12 houses right here, only open, in the whole block. 12 houses. And it's a long block from here all the way to Willow.
Yeah.
12 houses. On this side right here, only two. The church and another one.
Yeah.
And everything else is boarded up.
Yes. Mama.
So do the fight we have. We cannot allow our community to go down.
Yeah.
You might say, oh, I live in Philly. Oh, I live in Pennsylvania. Oh, I live in Burlington. Because feed my agency where?
That's right.
And when you cross, wherever you are, when you cross this street, right away you become part of Trenton.
Yes.
You can say whatever you want about Trenton, as your best place is in Trenton, because the center of worship, your center of worship,
yeah,
is the principal,
yeah,
house that you have.
Yeah.
So therefore, Shiloh become your principal house.
That's
it,
right.
become contingent upon us to watch over our neighborhood.
Yeah.
It become contingent upon us to take the responsibility of those young men who are coming from prison,
yeah,
and roam that street right here.
Yeah.
It become contingent upon us to find job for those who need job. It become contingent upon us to dress those we see are in need.
Yeah.
They don't have to come and beg. They don't. For Jesus said, feed my
sheep.
Although I left John, I didn't finish this. What John wants to say, I want to bring somebody else. Last month, you all know better than I, was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. As they were celebrating it, there is one phrase I don't hear often. As I was reading it, I noticed that Congress has declared Martin Luther King Jr. Day a day of... Oh, I think somebody else read it. A day of service.
Yeah.
And now I ask myself, what is service?
Yeah.
Think about it. Congress, the authority in the United States of America, legislate that Martin Luther King Day is a day of
service.
So in other words, I'm sure that Congress does not say to me, go and fetch a bucket of water or clean the snow in front of my sister's house. When I look at what service means, and I think it is something that you and I need to take very seriously. So let's look at Martin Luther King's service. Martin Luther King Jr., he has his education, went home, and he could, like everybody else, just use his education and get rich or get affluent. Let me take the word rich out. Mm-hmm. Get affluent. So his children could suffer affluenza. Mm-hmm. But what he did something very interesting. His house was bombed in serving people. In serving. Keep that in mind. His house was bombed. So many crosses was burning in front of his house that his wife don't worry about it anymore. They cursed them out from telephone calls all day, all night, to the point that the cursing and the threat doesn't matter anymore. Martin Luther King was stabbed. How many of you know that? Martin Luther King was thrown out in jail like he was going to take a shower. That's how often they're throwing him in and out of jail. Martin Luther King was killed. So I ask myself, what is service? So when Jesus said, feed my sheep, to me it is a call to complete and total commitment to the service of your brother and your sister. Uh-huh. It is a job that you have to risk your life for your brother and your sister.
Amen.
When you have a 2020 vision, you have to put yourself in it 100%. So you can achieve what you have to achieve. So people will not be afraid of Trenton. When they talk about Trenton, the glory of yesterday of Trenton should make the world think, we'll come back. When they talk about Trenton, we will be proud that I was there one day. I was caused by Trenton. Instead of looking at the negative, we can bring the glory. For service means complete and total commitment. Because the shepherd risked his life. If you don't believe me, we can look at the book of Samuel. Remember David? When David went to take food to his brother, David noticed there was a man who was challenging a soldier, who was challenging the army of God. And David said, oh, who is this man? Who does he think he is? And some, oh, what this kid is talking about? And they took the kid to the king. When David reached the king, David said something very important for you and I to remember. David said to the king, oh, I can fight him. You? You're a little baby. What talk about? A little thing like you can. David said, I can. So the king said, all right. The king sat on his throne, not get off his throne and said, come on, baby, tell me. And David said, oh, when I was watching the sheep of my father, the lion came and took a sheep. I ran after him and pulled my lion out, my sheep out. I tear his mouth. And the bear came. I did the same. The God that saved me from the paw of the lion and the thief, he gave his testimony. David is telling you and I that the lion can eat him, can eat the lamb and him. The bear could eat, have eaten him and the lamb because they were hungry. They could have him for lunch. But the God that he served, the God that he served was there. So you and I, you have that power for Jesus Christ's sake. That's what John is saying to you. That's what John is saying. I didn't make it up. But John said, Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. All things was created by him. All things was created by him. And without him, nothing that was made would have been made. And Jesus said, power you shall receive. So each and every one of you here has the power. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So you have the Holy Ghost. I don't understand when people say, oh, Trenton is crime ridden. Trenton make the list of the city that has another. I don't understand it. You have the power. Your testimony this morning, all of you here can testify that God has done something in your life. Yeah. And if it was not for God on your side, you would not have been here. So why do you lean on your own understanding, being afraid of the little kids on the street? Why are we afraid of those little kids on the street when they're in prison? When those kids are in prison, ask anyone who works in prison, they will tell you they are the best kids you're going to meet. Because prison is a controlled environment. Everything they tell them, yes sir, yes ma'am, hey, yes, ma'am. That's all. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So why would I be a boy on the street?
Come on now.
Believe it or not, there is no reason. But if you see a dog coming, you start running, what happened? Going to chase.
Yeah, that's right.
is going to church. So this morning, when we look at the 2020 vision of Shiloh Baptist Church for Trenton, it is something that we need to understand is not going to stay here. For this morning, we have the Jack and Jill come. I didn't ask where the school is, where the project is. The mother told me, I forget, I'm telling you the truth. But all I know, they know if they give one net, they might save the life of one.
That's right.
They don't know where it's going to go. They don't know the place. They ain't been. I'm sure that none of them have ever been to Haiti. But feed my sheep. Before I left, before we conclude today, it is important that we look at John. Because the way John does it, it's for you and I. How John presented the gospel is important. When he introduced Jesus, he gave you an identity that is indelible. You cannot dilute that identity. He presented him as God. And he lets you know in the same chapter that to them that believe gave him power to become children of God. Mm-hmm. Not adopted, to become children. So in other words, everything that God have is yours. So you don't miss nothing. So that's the first thing. Which is important for you to understand where John is taking you. Because in the first miracle, John showed you the power of God changing water into wine. Who didn't even try that as a trick? Even as a trick, you cannot try to change water into wine. Oh, close your eyes. I'm going to do abacadabra. You can't. It will not work. Only God. Only the one who has the power over the water. The one who made the water can change it into whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. And you are who are here this morning. That's what John wants you to know. That it is the man who has all power and he delegates you to feed his sheep. And Pastor mentioned a word this morning which is very important. And when I was looking at this word, years ago, you know, I'm not as smart, so don't take it for the gospel. Eros also means the ability to control. So whenever you hear the word erotic, eros, love, whatever, it is my ability to control my wife. It's my ability to control the one I love. It's my ability to control those who are around me. It is how we human use that eros. And Peter was confronted with something else. Because when Jesus tell him, feed my sheep, Jesus said, do you love me? Agape. Do you love me without condition? Peter said, oh yes, I love you. But the Greek in scholar said, he said, no, filio. Oh no, I love you. Like you say, I like you. That is the problem. I like you. He said, no, I didn't say that if you like me.
Yeah.
I said, do you love? You know I like you very much. No. Do you love me?
Yeah.
In other words, the commitment I'm looking from you. That's what I want. Because you have to give me 100% of your love. Because the responsibility that I'm going to give unto you, you have to give your life for it. Because when you read the rest of that chapter, the next verse, you know what the verse 18 said? Because Jesus tell Peter how he is going to die. Because Peter is going to give his life for the sheep. To the point that when that time come, Peter was happy to give his life. He said, no, don't hang me like my Savior. hang me upside down. He was happy to go because he knows that the mission is accomplished. This morning, Peter, excuse me, John, bring to your attention the God that is calling you to feed his sheep. And each and every one of you here, he wants your commitment. He wants your 100% commitment to feed his sheep. Because when a sheep casts down, let me review this one for you. When a sheep casts down, when a sheep is on its back, the sheep needs someone. It needs someone. For thy staff, pull me up. Okay, you need someone that can pull him on his feet, massage the leg, and take care of him, restore him. And finally, as we're going, as I'm going to take my seat, we saw that in the book of Acts, chapter 3, when Peter and John went to the temple. They find a lame man at the door of the temple. The man was lame from birth. And the man was asking for an alms. Peter and John said to him, look at us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And they took the man by hands, and the man stood and went into the temple. And what we have seen here is feeding a sheep. You have the power. First, Peter restored the man to himself. Because the man was able to walk. Second, he restored him into the community of believers. Because the man went into the temple. And third, he was restored to his family. And you are called. You are called to restore Haiti to the nations of all. You are called to take that tag, that sticker, the world poorest nation. You are called to change it. You are called to change Trenton from what they call made the crime-ridden city to the best city we can live. We already have a plan, 2020 vision. In other words, you have to have the best focus. Arrange, rearrange your lenses so you can have the right focus to move what needs to be moved so Trenton can be back on his feet. You have a 2020 vision. Those of you who have connection with the state, I'm sure some people in the state cannot sleep. If you have some phone numbers, those of you who have connection, call them. Tell them the Lord that you saw and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can do it because God gave you that connection. He didn't give it to you for you to keep in your pocket or to live at home. He gave you to be used. You got to use it. You have to use it. My brothers and my sisters, God called you to feed his sheep. Yes. Remember that wherever you are, the devil is there. Well, he is running rampant. Yes. You hear shooting in the suburban school. I haven't heard it from Trenton High yet. Well, you hear children beating their parents. You hear how the devil is doing everything everywhere in the suburb.
Yeah.
So wherever we are not exempt. But you are called to feed the sheep. You have the responsibility to provide your full commitment. And the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and also believe in him. And I will leave you with this. For he gave you his peace, and a peace that the world cannot give.
Yes.
May God bless you. May he keep you. May he protect you.